Today is August 8th, 2019. This is episode number 520 of the Apple Context Machine. That's a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, an editor-in-chief of TMO, and I'm also, little-known fact, abundantly buoyant. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, you can join us over at macobserver.com/contextmachine, and that'll take you straight to our Facebook group. Now, I am joined today by the lady from across the pond, as we like to call her, one Charlotte Henry, who is sacrificing her prep time for Bloodstock even as we record.
This is the only way to prepare to metal, Brian.
Record ACM with me?
Correct. This is the best way to get yourself in the metal mind frame.
You, ma'am, are doing it wrong.
I'm excited.
Yeah, Bloodstock, though. You're doing Bloodstock.
I'm doing metal this weekend. It's going to be fun.
And you're camping.
Let's not talk about this. One doesn't camp normally.
Yeah. One doesn't?
One has never camped. One has never previously camped.
You mean,
so,
by one, you mean you.
Correct.
Because even I have camped.
Oh, yeah. No, but I mean, all I can tell you is your friend of mine, Kelly Gamont, finds this concept of me camping very humorous, and I can understand why.
Yeah, fair enough. It's not... I don't know. I think you'll probably enjoy it. I think you're going to actually find that you have a love for camping. That's my take on this.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. I'm excited to find out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I guess, it depends on who you're camping with and how you're camping. These things are very, very important. But if those two factors align, I think you're going to find yourself enjoying it.
I mean, the company is definitely good. The conditions I can't plan.
I see. Someone else is in charge of the camping.
Well, I mean, the festival is in charge of the camping.
Yeah, but who's in charge of your part of the camping?
Well, I've got my stuff. I mean, here's a true story. This is how much of a diva I am about camping. Uh-huh. This is a little insight for ACM listeners into yours truly. I have bought for my tent, which I borrowed from a friend because I don't own a tent, obviously. I have bought not just any blow-up mattress, but a giant double blow-up mattress. So I can, spread out in my full regalia.
This is good. This is good. So you're glamping.
It's not glamping, but I'm trying to make it as glamp as possible.
You're trying to make it, all right, fair enough. Okay, well, all right, I apologize to our listeners for this digression. It's all entirely my fault. But
if they do want to send us any camping tech tips, we do like to hear those.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, I've got a device here. I actually need to finish up my review on it, but it's like 20,000 milliamp hours. Like waterproofing thing,
nice.
and it's got three. It has a solar panel in the back, and it comes with a wallet that has two more solar panels. So it's aimed at the outdoorsy folks.
Nice.
Yeah. It nice. Is. Yeah. Hopefully, I can get that up tomorrow. That's my plan. All right. So let's see here. We have, believe it or not, some non-camping related topics.
No, surely not.
It's true. It's true. We do. Starting with Apple's kind of curious decision to put up its own content. Like, I can't recall Apple ever doing, like, putting up consumer content that's not a, you know, it's not an app and it's not a commercial. It's not a promotional video. It's not a how-to video. It's not a, we really like the quiet white room video. It's contents, these ASMR videos. ASMR videos.
Yeah, it does feel different. Apple has done stuff, I think, from shot on iPhone filmmakers and photographers. I have seen that stuff and we've shared it on TMO.
Fair point. That actually is a very fair point.
But I do also think you make a fair point that this does feel slightly different. This does feel like the next step. So for people that don't know, these ASMR videos are a really big deal on YouTube in particular. Some people produce this stuff and get millions and millions of views. And they're meant to give you some kind of tingling sensation from your scalp to your spine or something, which is all rather nice. And so Apple decided, has clearly commissioned someone to produce four of these videos on an iPhone, I think it was XS and XS Max, which is...
Is that what it was? I'm looking.
I think so. I think that's what I wrote when I did it. I mean, that is, and that is interesting.
Well, okay, here, as you were talking, this is why it feels different to me. Apple has done plenty of these made on iPhone stuff, exactly as you said. And I'm looking at the first one. It was a XS and a XS Max.
That's right.
Yeah. And the difference between a lot of, like, all the shot on iPhone stuff that has been done has always felt like it was designed to be a promotional vehicle, right? Here's what you can do. This content is actually designed to be consumed for its own sake. That's why it feels different.
I totally agree with you. I think you put that really well. The sole focus of it isn't look at this pretty video now by an iPhone. It's look at this pretty video. Oh, and guess what? It was made on an iPhone.
And listen to it.
And listen. Put some headphones on.
It's better with headphones.
And they didn't even say AirPods.
They did not say AirPods. That's true. They said headphones. And they also say, so shot on iPhone XS and iPhone XS Max by Anson Fogel. I'm looking at Apple ASMR crunching sounds on the trail. But then there's a little note that's in the description that also says additional software and professional hardware used. So that's probably the microphone that they're talking about. The microphone and whatever was used to mix it.
Yeah, and presumably some kind of final cut.
Probably like a gimbal too.
Yeah, to like edit stuff.
To shoot it. Actually, let me watch here to see if this is...
Maybe.
Yeah. This is actually absolutely and positively the phone was mounted on a gimbal, and that's some of the professional equipment they're talking about too.
Sure, which again is different because as you say, the focus of the other videos has always been the iPhone, whereas this is not the case here.
Well, I mean, there is still the message of you can make this on an iPhone. There is still that message. But this content is designed to be listened to in and of itself.
I personally think it feels different to a kind of shot on iPhone, a classic shot on iPhone video. I think not just because of the style of the content and it's this very particular genre of video, but because it is also focused on the content itself, as opposed to the products used to make it.
By the way, I'm watching this one. This is again crunching sounds on the trail.
Are you having a moment?
I realized as I was watching it. So I mean, I know that the part of the popularity of these videos is really the sounds, but I can't play the sounds because we're recording. But I realized I was just like sort of like as I was watching it.
You're feeling much more serene already.
I honestly am. I totally am. Well, just watching it.
Then it did its job. Look, I also think, let's look at a wider context of this, and I may be stretching things a bit too far. Tell me what you think. I think this is also the beginning of Apple getting us used to it as a content producer ahead of Apple TV Plus and things. Now, I know a quick YouTube clips, when it's done stuff on YouTube before, is maybe, like I say, stretching it a bit far, but I think it is starting to get us to think about it in that space.
Nope.
And move in that direction.
Nope. No, I was kind of thinking that sort of, but the initially, but the more I think about it, Charlotte, I mean, like, if Apple launched an ASMR channel, sure. But
right.
But I don't care if Apple had 20 of these videos, like finding 20 of these videos on the Apple channel, no one's going to do that. No one's going to make the Apple channel on YouTube a destination to regularly consume this stuff. People might come and see it and whatnot. But I think this is more about Apple identifying a trend and simply wanting to use that trend to highlight how good their devices are at making videos and even recording environmental sounds when you're using a professional microphone. I don't think we're going to end up having 100 Apple ASMR videos.
But I don't think so either, although it's not impossible. But I just think by doing blocks of content like this, we just get more used to the idea of Apple as a place that produces content. It doesn't seem so weird to us.
Maybe. I think where you may end up retroactively being proven to have a point would be with augmented reality content.
Mm-hmm.
Although even mm-hmm. there, I think that Apple is much more likely to not produce content, but instead produce apps that can give additional information and whatnot. Of course, you know, that said, Apple is working on this gaming channel and investing, gaming network, gaming arcade. Subscription service, the arcade, thank you. And the company is believed to be investing in some games for that. And that's sort of producing content. I don't know. I think this is going to end up being a bit of a one-off.
Well, but that is actually the key question, isn't it? Is this a bit of a one-off? Or is it going to be so well-received that Apple realizes that actually producing content for YouTube is a thing it can do? It doesn't cost it very much. Probably artists quite like the credibility of working with Apple. I don't know. I can see... It doesn't seem inconceivable to me that Apple could produce further YouTube content. And it's interesting. It reminds me of a piece I wrote for you a while back where Apple kind of really started to use YouTube. And I noticed that meant it had probably given up on doing its own kind of video and was embracing using someone else's platform. And actually, whatever it is, a couple of years on from that happening, these videos are another indication of that, I think.
It could be, but I think where I'm getting hung up, I mean, like, I absolutely see your point. I see where you're coming from. Where I sort of get hung up on the concept, though, is, again, the fact that Apple is putting this on its main channel, and its main channel is on YouTube, is chock full of Apple promotional videos.
Right,
even
absolutely.
Even the prior shot on iPhone stuff. And
yeah,
I
yeah,
think
yeah.
that actually makes it not a very easy go-to information for content, unless, of course, you're looking for Apple-specific content. And the thing about these ASMR videos, what does ASMR stand for? Do we know?
Oh, I did find this out, and I've forgotten. It's audio sensory something. I did find this out yesterday when I was writing. Autonomous, sorry.
Sensory meridian sensory response.
Yes. Oh. Autonomous sensory meridian response.
Which is an experience characterized by a static-like or tingling sensation on the skin that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and upper spine. I'm reading from Wikipedia here. Mm-hmm. It has been compared with auditory tactile synesthesia and may overlap with FRISM.
There you go.
Interesting.
I mean, look, if you Google ASMR, you know, there's, I can see a picture of, it has to be said, a rather attractive younger woman eating a strawberry. It does tend to be predominantly female content creators, it's worth noting.
That is intriguing, especially when you look at the fact that, of course, I mean, that's anecdotal evidence, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I've read stuff, a little bit of stuff about this before, and I think all these kind of auditory triggering kind of videos can often be younger kids as well that do it. I read once, so it's just a thing to note.
And so I know the one by Anson is obviously not female.
Yeah, no, there's a few that are not, but there are I believe a significant proportion of the bigger names in this field tend to be.
The Ghost Forest is also by Anson. Well, that's interesting. That is interesting. We will, obviously, we'll keep an eye on this.
Interestingly, someone over on Gizmodo was not a fan and said, Apple's version of ASMR is like nails on a chalkboard to me.
Interesting. Interesting. Interesting stuff. We'll keep an eye on this. Again, I suspect this is going to end up, even if Apple ends up doing another series or two of this, I think in retrospect it'll be considered a bit of a one-off.
I think you're possibly dismissing it all a bit too readily. I think we could start to see Apple. I mean, the problem, of course, is that YouTube is not Apple's platform.
Yep.
And right, and so it won't want to play too nicely with Google's platform. But I can see them doing more stuff on there.
All right, well, we will see. I assume you'll keep an eye on this and keep us posted.
I certainly will.
Excellent. Excellent. All righty. Well, let's see here. Sort of. You had this cockamamie idea of actually, like, since we were talking about YouTube stuff, to then transition into talking about something else on YouTube. And that's just, like, yeah, this crazy idea where a segue actually makes sense.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to link from one thing to the other. I know that's not your vibe, but
yeah, it's not. I mean, that's not really how we do things around here on the ACM. But the story being Samsung, and tell us what Samsung did.
So, Samsung users and listeners and readers will no doubt be aware has a little bit of a reputation of making adverts that mock Apple in a not very subtle way.
Yeah, very, very like adverts that really, really show their insecurity. But go ahead.
You might say.
I might say, yes. I'd be right, but if I said that.
But right. Go ahead. One of those adverts, perhaps the most famous, was when it was called Growing Up. It came out when just after the iPhone 7 was released, when Apple got rid of the traditional headphone jack. Did you notice when that happened, Brian?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure I wrote about it at the time.
You were around when that happened.
Yeah,
you were.
I was.
So anyway, yeah. So they did this whole video of a guy getting increasingly fed up with his iPhone, and eventually he buys, guess what? A Galaxy.
Yeah, right. In other words, he grew up in Samsung's narrative. He grew up and
exactly.
He grew out of his childish Apple phase.
Exactly. And one of the big things in this advert that it features on is getting rid of said headphone jack. But guess what Samsung have done with their latest phone?
Of the things that they did was they got rid of the headphone jack.
Yeah, they got rid of the headphone jack.
Well, all right. So what they did then is they posted a video where they said, we know that once upon a time we made fun of this, but it turns out that Apple was onto something. And now we've done the same thing, so we would like to very much apologize for kind of really being immature pinheads, and we just want to let everyone know that we're on the Apple bandwagon, and that even we are acknowledging that we're on the Apple bandwagon. Right? That's what happened.
No. Lol, no. Lol, no. What happened was they have deleted the video. And I think other ads that mocking Apple have also mysteriously disappeared from the main channel. But the one everyone noticed was this It's Growing Up video. And that has mysteriously, magically disappeared from Samsung's main YouTube channel.
Hold on. You're telling me that the Growing Up commercial that used to be on Samsung's own video channel on the YouTubes has been removed from the Samsung channel. That's what you're telling me.
That is correct.
So rather than saying, okay, well, it turns out, you know, rather than doing that, they just pulled the commercial where they were making fun of the lack of a headphone jack.
Yeah, or even, not even, and they didn't even just not say anything. You know, people, this has actually done is highlighted the video and the advert a lot more, I think, because now everyone's digging it up. And I found it, for example, I found it on Samsung's Peruvian channel. and people are...
Nice work.
Thank you. People are kind of just digging it up and remembering the advert when actually if they'd just left it to sit in its, you know, in the bowels of the internet, people may have forgotten about it. I mean, not you, Brian, because we know how you feel about Samsung, but other people.
I don't like Samsung.
Might have.
I don't like it at all.
Have you mentioned that before?
I have. It's possible. You know, it's possible that I've made mention of this a time or 20.
Sure. But anyway, I thought it was quite funny and it made me lols.
Yeah, it's pretty, I hate this company, man.
You've done really well so far in this section.
No, but I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate their advertising. I hate their attitudes. I hate their thieving ways. I hate their intellectual property practices. God, I hate this company. I just hate them. I don't like them. I don't like them at all.
I have to confess, Brian, I really like the Samsung TVs I have.
You know, they make fine TVs. Part of that is because they stole IP from their betters. They're thieves. Don't give them any money. Apple gives them money. Apple tries to give them less money, but Apple does give them money. Because there are things that they do well, that's for sure.
Right, and I have to say, I think TVs I've used, I have to confess also, I've been known to use a Galaxy phone.
That's true. You have been known to do this. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine using a Galaxy phone, by the way.
It's quite nice. I mean, I'm quite excited to get a new iPhone when it comes out in September.
If I had to get an Android device, I would do everything I could to get something that ran naked Android.
Mm.
Particularly a Pixel.
Anyway. Yeah.
Wouldn't get a Samsung device in particular.
I think it's just quite telling that they have made this move, Samsung. I think, look, part of this, I think, is more and more devices, more and more headphones are Bluetooth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming less and less relevant to plug something in to listen, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
We can name hundreds of companies that... That produce wireless and Bluetooth headphones. So, which was part, I assume, of Apple's logic in getting rid of the headphone jack as well, particularly when it was producing the AirPods.
The biggest thing for removing the headphone jack from Apple was threefold. Headphone jacks are one of the primary points of physical breakage in a device.
Because loads of crap gets in them.
Yeah, loads of crap. And you know, you're jamming something in and out of those things like a horny rabbit, you know, throughout its life. And you know, things break. So you have that. You have making a device more waterproof. And then you have the space dedicated to this very, very, very decades-old technology. The space that's being used inside the device that can be better put to use, either making the device thinner or possibly cramming a couple of extra milliamp hours inside the device. And so it's threefold reasons that Apple wanted to get rid of it. And it wasn't just because there were more and more Bluetooth headphones. If anything, Apple's decision to do this and its prominent push into the headphone space with AirPods brought the rest of the industry around.
Right. Right. And it looks, it's fairly disputable now that Samsung has followed in Apple's wake, and that's fine. And I can, for the reasons you outlined and perhaps some others, I can understand why. Silly things like this do leave a little bit of a bad taste in the mouth, though, don't they? Like, okay, you mocked Apple for a bit. Fine. Just front up or just move on.
Yeah, just move on. You know what Apple does? Apple did this for years under Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs would say, LOL, this technology is, you know, if he's talking behind the scenes, he would say it's poop, but he would use the word that I can't use for poop. And then if it was publicly, he would say that, you know, these things are terrible, but, you know, this technology is, you know, it's just the wrong way to do everything. And then when Apple turned around and did the same thing, the message would be, but we figured out how to do it right.
Yeah. Right? Also why when people criticize it for producing products later than other companies, they would say, yeah, but we did it better.
Yeah, we did. Right. We did it correctly. We did it better.
The MP3 player and the iPod being the best example, but there are others.
And, well, the iPhone too.
Sure. But the one that I remember first being aware of was the iPod.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, fair enough. Famously. And the one that's currently lingering out there would be the toaster fridge. A MacBook with a touchscreen.
Right. Well, if you listen to I think there will be discussions on this.
Tomorrow for Friday. Friday, yeah, August 9th.
Exactly. And Andrew will be discussing ways to make for $1, create your toaster fridge.
But that's not Apple doing the toaster fridge.
No, it's not.
I mean, the toaster fridge, if Apple ever releases a toaster fridge, that would be, you know, that would be the today's version of the iPod or today's version of the smartphone. And, you know, anyway, that's the one that's out there. So, yeah, I think it's very pathetic that Samsung would remove this commercial.
I have some sympathy with that. I don't feel as strongly as you do about Samsung. I happily use a number of their products, but I do think this leaves a bad taste in the mouth.
Yeah.
But maybe Apple will release an advert with a folding phone.
They might. They might.
You know, just a mocking advert with a folding phone. That could be fun.
That Apple would release that?
Just for the lols.
Nah. You're not serious, are you? Apple's not going to release a commercial mocking the folding phone.
I would just like to see it.
Okay. It's one of the really sad and pathetic things about Samsung, a company, by the way, that I don't like at all, is the fact that they spend so much of their time demonstrating to the entire world that they're also rans by constantly talking about their competition.
That is a fair point.
And it's the way they do it. It's the way they talk about their competition.
I'm going to make a bit of a football analogy here.
Which football?
Which, you know, the proper football, please.
Okay. Go ahead.
So my team for many years was not successful, and our big rivals were very successful, and we had a little bit of a kind of nose out of joint. And I think that's kind of how Samsung is behaving a bit. We knew we weren't as good, and so everything was about competing with them. Whereas, you know, when you're at the top level, you're not really worrying about your competitors, you're worrying about staying ahead.
Yeah, you know, and Apple talked about the competition with the I'm a Mac ads.
Yes.
Right. Do you remember those? Were you probably in pigtails?
I have never had pigtails. Two, remember. this is Windows 7, and you said I'm a Mac, and this was my idea, that one. I'm Windows
7. Yeah, Justin Long and John Hodge.
I'm a Mac, and Windows 7 was my idea.
Yeah.
Lols.
Yeah, right.
We've had a lot of lols today, haven't we?
Yeah, we have had a lot of lols today. But when Apple did that, it executed those in a way that made the Mac was very much the star of those ads, right?
Sure.
Whereas when Samsung makes iPhones the star of many of its ads.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm talking about. It's a real thing. If you watch the advert, which, as I say, I managed to dig out on the Peruvian Samsung channel or something, yeah, and
I'll have a link posted to it up on,
yeah, we posted up on the site just because, you know, we didn't want people to forget about it. Yeah. Look, if Samsung can't provide it, we thought we would.
Yeah.
But the point is, I mean, literally, you see an art. It's bizarre that you're watching this company produce an advert, and the focus is its competitor's product.
Yeah, the iPhone is the star of that.
For almost the entirety of the ad, you see someone not using really a Galaxy product. It's in a bit, but it's all about the guy using the iPhone.
And it's like Samsung has been desperate to be seen as an innovator in the smartphone space while it was busily. Sure,
hence the Galaxy Fold, actually.
Right, but the Samsung has tried numerous things to appear innovative, including trying to rush things to market that they knew that Apple was going to announce, that they were only working on because they knew that Apple was working on them. And they would rush it out to market, and they screwed it up time and time again. And it's
such as?
There was the... what was the thing? The thing with the thing where the batteries were catching on fire. That was a product that they were trying to rush out to market.
I forgot the catching fire phone.
Yeah, right. And the biggest thing that Samsung did that was quote unquote innovative was putting a big screen on a smartphone. That was the thing that they did before everybody else, and it's the thing that turned them from also RANs to the biggest Android purveyor.
Right.
And that's about it. They keep trying other things to appear innovative. But the problem is that other than that big screen, when they're not copying Apple, they're just releasing crap. You know, they had when you look at all the things that Samsung has thrown against the wall to see what would stick and slide down the slowest, the one thing that slid down very slowly was a big screen.
Sure.
But that's like one of like 20 things that they've tried. And all the rest of them are just crap. It's crap, 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 crap. All the stuff they put on top of Android, it's crap, 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 crap. It's crap.
Do you have any strong feelings about Samsung?
I have
though?
Very, very, very strong feelings about it. Don't like it at all. You were
it's
saying?
Good though. No, I was just enjoying the fact that you hide your feelings so well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not very good at that.
But I do. I think also perhaps there's an element of. So Apple is famous for its kind of quite punchy, or previously was, particularly under Steve Jobs, quite punchy, quite rebellious attitude in its adverts. There's obviously the 1984 one, but there's a load of others, right? Where it made itself the upstart. And I wonder if Samsung thinks it's doing that or thought it was doing that with those adverts.
Well, I think a lot of it is culture clash. Did you see the Galaxy? I think it was the Galaxy 4 event.
Vaguely recollect.
It was like this Broadway play.
Yes.
And it was horrible. It was just objectively awful. Yet someone at Samsung said, "This is awesome." Yeah, no, we're going to do this. They saw They saw video productions. They saw, you know, rehearsals. Maybe they went to go see the darn thing live. And they said, oh, yeah, that's what we want to do. That's terrific. And it was objectively awful and awkward. And there was the misogyny moments and the horrible dialogue, the not good at all screenplay that they wrote for the thing. It was terrible. And I think that a lot of these things that really come off badly are the culture clash between South Korea and what works in South Korea and what is going to work in the United States.
Or possibly. But I do also think there could be, perhaps particularly with like this one that I'm thinking of, there's a little bit of a trying to be the upstart, which is kind of funny given what a massive company Samsung is.
Yeah, they're this massive conglomerate. All right, enough Samsung. Enough of those guys.
Welcome to the Samsung context machine.
I just hate them, man. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. Company I do most of the time like. Most of the time. A little company called Apple. And they... come on. Throw me a bone.
No.
All right. This checks out. So they have been doing... Apple as a company has been pursuing these stock buybacks for quite a while. Spending enormous amounts of money. And our friend Darren... excuse me. I do it every time I mess up his name. Daniel Aaron Dilger, writing for Apple Insider, did one of his deep dives looking at... how much Apple spent in the June quarter, which was $24 billion on stock buybacks.
Which is many monies.
It's a lot of money. It's a record. And
for Apple, it's many monies.
Even for Apple, yeah. Yeah, it's more. Yeah, it's just a lot of money. So, and this was compared to, I think, only $8 billion in the March only. Right, only $8 billion in the March quarter for stock buybacks, Aaron. Every time, I don't know why I have such a stumble with his name, Daniel. One of the things that he pointed out was that it would appear that Apple has not been trying to buy, you know, at the most opportune times, like when just on the dips.
So yeah, but his point was also that it's actually quite an, as I read it, and correct me if I'm wrong, that actually it's quite an efficient, when you're a company that has as much money sitting around as Apple does, this is quite an efficient way to use it.
Let's come back to that.
Am I misrepresenting his argument?
No, you are. I think you're representing it pretty well. It's not that I disagree with that argument. I think that it is a very fanboy reading of the situation. And there are a lot of counter arguments that could be made, but I want to come back to that because it is certainly a point that's worth discussing. So one of the things that Daniel figured out is that the average price that Apple paid was $197 per share based on spending, basically, that's based on how much money they spent and how many shares they retired. So $197 a share, which again is indicative.
That was in the last quarter, wasn't it?
In the June quarter.
Quarter, that was the average price of the stock
that
they paid for it.
That shows that Apple wasn't only buying on the dips. And a point that he didn't really go into is this reality that when you're spending, he made a great point. He said that spending, how did he put it? He said, called it hard work. Effectively spending lots of money is hard work. It's very, very true. Spending $24 billion, even just on a single thing, buying your own shares, that's hard. It's hard. It's a very hard thing to do to spend that much money. And right. when you're doing stock buybacks,
I mean, if anyone's listening and wants to allow me to have a chance to do that, I'm up for it. But
that's kind of you. That's really, really generous of you. But when you're spending that much money in a single quarter, $8 billion every month on average, you don't get to time it. You just got to buy back what you can. Like when shares come up, you buy them. And here's the thing with that. This is a point that Daniel made. That Apple doing this means that Apple believes that its shares will be worth more in the future. This is a significant thing. Apple spending all of this money, this enormous amount of its own profits into buying back shares, means that Apple has reason to believe that its company, that itself, will be worth more or significantly more in the near, midterm, or even long-term future.
Is that an unreasonable thing to imagine? I don't think so.
Well, it's...
That seems like a pretty safe bet to me.
This is an argument that I get into with John Keat a lot. Oh, John God. Keat...
I'm not getting in the middle of that.
You don't have to get in the middle. I'll just represent his argument because he's not here to defend himself or to present it. John Keat mocks Tim Cook saying that Apple has a deep pipeline. He's constantly mocking it. And that's because John Keat wants the deep pipeline, wants any reference to Apple's pipeline to refer only to its existing products, the products that he currently cares about, which are Macs, iPhones, and, iPads, maybe displays, things like that. And any sign that Apple isn't releasing those new products is proof to him that Tim Cook is lying when he says that Apple has a deep pipeline. And my argument is that the deep pipeline comments are about the products that we don't know about. Now, I also want Apple to release more Macs, better Macs, faster Macs, more frequent iterations. I also want that.
You have mentioned that.
I've mentioned that many a time. But Apple doing that is not mutually exclusive of the company having major products that it's working on that we don't know about. And I would say... Let me finish up this one little point. Yeah. I apologize for monologuing. But I would say that Apple spending this kind of money on share buybacks is the proof that the company believes in its supposed deep pipeline.
I agree with you. And I also think it would include in that pipeline not the type of things that might make you or John Keat happy, but also its services products that are starting to emerge. I imagine it considers those as part of it as well.
Services are never going to be like as important as something like the iPhone.
Says who? Okay, the iPhone, fine. The iPhone is a standalone product, I agree. The iPhone is an exceptional product that, even though people are renewing them less frequently, the sales figures are astounding.
Services are a way of building for the future and also in the short term, increasing sales and revenues while these products that we don't know about are still being developed. They're a bridge. Correct, services are a bridge. A bridge to the future.
No, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I think Apple... I'm not wrong, Brian.
Go ahead.
Listeners, I want you to know this is how he tells me I'm wrong the whole time. Just FYI. this is my insight into my life. No, I'm not wrong because I think Apple really does see the products as a standalone, the services products as a key, standalone, integral part of its business as a whole going forward. I think that's why we had the very long it's Showtime reveal. I think that's why there's so much about Apple. I absolutely do not accept that. Yes, of course, Macs and iPhones are always going to be the absolute core of the business. It's hard to imagine an Apple, but I really...
I don't know about that, but keep going.
No, but I don't... I think that Apple doesn't... I think to say that services are just a bridge is to really... denigrate and downplay how important Apple sees them. Sees those
services
products.
In the short term, services are shoring up sales and profits. And when I say they're a bridge to the future. They're a bridge to and they are not a standalone business. Apple's services are part and parcel of the ecosystem. They exist within the ecosystem and they exist to bolster the ecosystem. They do not exist to be a standalone product. This it's the same. It's the same as for the App Store, and it's the same as for its apps, and it's the same as you know for iBooks or what's just called books these days. And in no way whatsoever are services a standalone product. They're all part of the Apple ecosystem.
Of course. Well. Hang on, I just need to navigate my way through this. Yes, they are, of course, part of the ecosystem. The likelihood you're going to subscribe to Apple Arcade but not have an iPhone is basically nil. There is Apple Music for Android, but again, I can only imagine how few people sign up for that. If you know, it's all about Apple Music on an iPhone.
Yeah, and people who... are otherwise Apple customers who, for some reason, have an Android device in their life.
Possibly, but I think there's very few people. Anyway, my point is that, yes, you're right, that it is part of the ecosystem, but I think with things like TV Plus, Apple is trying to get over that. It's taking a little peek over the walled garden, perhaps.
I do not think that is the case. I think that the walled garden remains part and parcel to Apple's entire raison d'etre.
Yeah, but I think, like I said, I think it's taking a little peek.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Little.
Nope.
Little one.
All there to support the ecosystem. To support the ecosystem.
Little peek.
Regardless... these massive...
of the fact that you're wrong.
Sure, let's go with that. These enormous amounts of money are, to me, proof that Apple does believe that it's going to be doing something in the near, medium, or maybe long-term future that is as... significant to its future as the iPhone has turned out to be. And if...
oh, yeah.
And if they did not, they would be subject to shareholder lawsuits for breach of fiduciary responsibility.
Yeah. No, this is... You're absolutely right. This is clearly Apple backing itself. No doubt about that.
So then let's talk about the other part of that equation. The thing that I said I wanted to come back to.
Oh, yeah. Let's go back to it.
Like... what most companies, what all companies have done in the past when they had a lot of money. Of course, no one's had as much money as Apple. But, you know, back before Apple raised that particular bar, what companies would do when they had money, and sometimes they would even borrow money to do this, is they would spend their money on acquiring new revenue streams and acquiring new businesses. And sometimes... shoring up their market share, increasing their market share within an existing business, or even entering into a new business. For instance, Microsoft, faced with getting its butt kicked by Netscape, put a bunch of its profits into developing Internet Explorer and giving it away for free. It was a very, very expensive investment for Microsoft.
Was I born then?
I don't know. This was back when we would ride dinosaurs to school.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't. No.
Yeah. Okay. So this
I was post Jurassic era.
This would be in the late 90s.
So I was born. I'm teasing.
You were born, but you were a wee lass. And here in the United States, there was a big thing. There was, you know, basically Microsoft was using its dominance in operating systems and Office software to enter and take over another market, which is expressly illegal under U.S. antitrust law. And they got sued and they lost. And then the eventual settlement covering the remedy phase ended up being a lot of nothing. And today Netscape is like LOL Netscape, and Microsoft is, the giant that it remains. But that was one of the things that Microsoft did with its money, is it spent a lot of its money on developing Internet Explorer and then giving it away for free. This is the thing that car companies have done. This is the thing that electronics manufacturers have done. This is the thing that companies like GE have done a lot of. This is what companies do. They take their money. They're super successful. So now they're going to buy more money. They're going to buy new revenue streams. And that's the thing that Apple has not done. The closest thing that Apple has done to that would be buying Beats. Boy, they bought their way into a particular industry, and even there, it appears most strongly that what Apple really wanted was the people.
Yeah, and also that was also part of a play with Apple Music and Beats One Radio and that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, a lot of the Apple Music is the long play result of buying Beats.
Absolutely.
And they happen to also have to pay for this headphone business that they got along with the deal. That's really how that worked. And so this is why. So like you said, Darren, God, every time I do it, every time. Daniel. Thank you. Daniel says that this is the best way for Apple to spend its money. Now, Apple clearly feels that this is the best way to spend its money.
I don't think he thinks it's the best. I think he thinks it's one of the most efficient and...
No, the most... But see, that's actually wrong. The most efficient thing to do would be for Apple to buy up competitors and or buy its way into new markets and become this huge, sprawling conglomerate. That would be the most efficient thing to do. This is simply what Apple... But the thing is that would make Apple into an entirely different company. Apple has never done that. Apple's acquisitions are about bringing in people and technology and incorporating them into their existing or future products. And that is a lot different than buying up industries.
Like the chip business we just saw.
Yeah, like Apple could have bought Intel a long time ago. Or Apple could buy TSMC, the Taiwanese manufacturer that's making its processors. Or Apple probably could have talked Samsung into selling its processor business.
Right?
These are things that a lot of companies would do. And there is absolutely and positively an argument to be made that doing so would be a lot more efficient than what Apple does.
Possibly. Just so we're not being disingenuous, the word Daniel uses in his piece is effectively. Spending lots of money is hard work. That's what he said.
But then he also later makes the point that basically, like, this is obviously the best way for Apple to do it. And I don't think that's objectively true.
It depends what you're trying to produce. If you're just trying to generate more money in the relative short term, I can see the argument. If you want to get from Beats to Apple Music Plus and all the stuff we're seeing now, I can see your argument.
Well, okay, so then let me play a little bit of defensiveness here. First of all, I do own a very, very tiny stake in Apple. It has never been a factor in anything I say about the company. I've been very critical of Apple while I've owned this tiny stake. I've also been very praised, you know, I've heaped praise onto Apple too. So that aside, I don't want Apple doing this other thing. I don't want Apple. But that's because I am a fan of Apple. People who argue, like shareholders who argue and analysts who argue that Apple should be spending its money by buying new industries, are people that don't understand what Apple does and don't really care what Apple does.
Maybe. So I think this returns back to our point from before, whereby the kind of products you and John Keat and indeed me like, the Macs, the iPhones, they are for the foreseeable future the central way Apple will generate revenue and make money. But I do see the argument that backing yourself, spending this money, buying the shares, actually is a good way to make money. To I can see the argument.
Well, it's that,
and that if you have the ability to produce products in the way that Apple does, yes, you buy the chip company, but there's not so many companies Apple needs to buy. It's bought some autonomous vehicle firms. We've discussed Beats, we've discussed Intel. There's a few, but Apple to itself is keeping its core whilst keeping them, keeping that money working.
Yeah, and so when Apple turns around and buys stock, it's not actually keeping that money working, but it's returning that money to shareholders, because when Apple does buy its own shares back, it's removing shares off the market, which props up or increases the price. So the fact that Apple stock hasn't gone up more while it's been putting this enormous amount of money into buying back its shares is a little bit of a mystery. But the point is that for Apple to remain Apple, this is, in my opinion, the best way for it to use these large sums of money. But it's not necessarily the most effective way to use that money. The most effective way to use that money would probably be to buy up business and buy up revenue streams. It's just that would make Apple into a company that I don't want Apple to be. So as a shareholder, I support Apple's path here.
Interesting.
Word. All right, Charlotte, thank you.
Thank you for having me. That was fun.
It was fun. So first of all, let me do this. And then say, and that's this week's Apple Contacts Machine. If you have anything to comment on that or question, write me at acm@macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. That's all for this week, except for the fact that, again, Charlotte, thank you.
Thank you. I'm off to metal.
Have fun with the metal. It's kind of a metal bass line, right? Am I not doing metal right?